Yahweh is our Heavenly Father. Yahshua is His amazing Son who came and gave us glorious, glorious promises predicted from the ancient times. And we've been examining some of the more ancient promises in Scripture, promises of eternal life and the promised land. And we've been enjoying that a lot. I've been enjoying it tremendously. And we are now in part 5 of the promises of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. And, you know, Yahshua himself said, it's said that he was able to endure the suffering because, what? Because, it says, who for the joy that was set before him, he was able to endure. And so we have a joy that's set before us today, as we walk as he walked, that helps us endure. We are in a new covenant. If we only think about our responsibility in this arrangement, and we don't think about what he promises us, we can get discouraged. We might lose sight of that joy set before us. And so we have spent a lot of time here in this ministry going over commands, which I want to know. What does Yahweh expect of me? Over 200 videos on that, actually. So, but now we're in our 5th video on the commands. I'm sorry, the promises of Yahweh. So the key promises of Yahweh going through Scripture. Number one, Yahweh promises to send a Savior born of a virgin. Genesis chapter 3 talks about a virgin birth. That's right, a seed of Abraham who blessed every nation of the earth. That seed is Yahshua. By destroying the work of the devil, he causes us to become children of Elohim as we join to his body. And he will not rest until every enemy is defeated. Therefore, greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Second promise, as we walk joyfully in obedience, giving thanks for the abundance of all things, Yahweh promises to bless us with optimum health, heal all of our diseases, and give strength to our bones. And whatever healing doesn't occur in this age will come when we are resurrected and given incorruptible bodies. Third promise, Yahweh knows our sorrows. How could he know that? For Yahshua, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Yahweh loves you, even if you're still in your sins. For Elohim demonstrates his love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, Yahshua died for us. The man who does the Torah, that's the law of Yahweh, shall have eternal life by them. But by faith we're justified and made righteous by the one who did them, Yahshua the Messiah. Therefore, by his righteousness we are counted as one who has done them. And by his power we can do them. Therefore, we have eternal life through this promise in Leviticus 18, verse 5. And Yahweh will give us and all the children of Abraham the land of Israel as an everlasting possession. First, a 1,000-year reign, then a new heavens and a new earth, a new Jerusalem. Yahweh Elohim, he's merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And that's what we went over last week, learning the Hebrew meanings of each of those words. Very, very powerful meanings in the Hebraic language. And now we're going to address the following questions in today's study. What is the oldest Bible text ever found as an archaeological finds? And what can it tell us about how Yahweh will preserve his promises? What is the true meaning of the word bless? What does it really mean when Yahweh keeps us? What does it mean for Yahweh to make his face shine upon us? And what does Yahweh's face shining on us teach us about salvation in Yahshua Messiah? How are the principles of the head covering taught in 1 Corinthians 11 related to the priestly blessing? What does it mean for Yahweh to lift up his countenance upon you? What does it mean to have peace, or Hebrew, shalom? What can we do to ensure that we don't lose our shalom? If Yahshua gives us peace and he's the Prince of Peace, why does he say he didn't come to bring peace? He came to bring a sword. And what does the headdress of the high priest teach us about having Yahweh's name on our foreheads? And what does it really mean to have Yahweh's name on our foreheads? So, last week we looked in the book of Numbers to discover Yahweh's promises. And we're going to continue with some other important promises in this book of Numbers here. It says here, Numbers chapter 6, verse 23, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." These words, put Yahweh's name on the children of Israel, and he makes a guarantee, "I will bless them." It's very interesting. The most ancient archaeological find contains this blessing. It's called the Ketef Hanom, a tiny silver amulet scroll, inch and a half maybe wide, found in an undisturbed grave. Of all places, it was found in the Valley of Hinnom. This is the Ketef Hanom. Now think about this. These blessings right here that are mentioned, very powerful blessings that are mentioned, were discovered in the Valley of Hinnom. Did you know that when the New Testament talks about hell, it's talking about the Valley of Hinnom? And a blessing was found there, of all places. Gehenna is referencing Hinnom. Okay? So they found this late 1970s. They discovered this tiny amulet, and it took them a long time to unroll it. And it turned out it dated back to 600 B.C. 600 B.C., Solomon's temple still stood. Josiah was the king of Israel. Jeremiah's father, who was Hilkiah the high priest, had just found the book of the law in the temple. And so we are looking here at a first generation copy off of the book of the law that would have been, everyone would have known the book of the law is in the temple. And so whoever wrote this amulet scroll literally was able to know what that book of the law said, letter for letter, and write it right here, and we can read it today. And it contains the priestly blessing. The book of the law was penned by Moshe himself. And guess what? I've looked at it. I've studied it. It is letter for letter identical to the Hebrew text we have in our hands today. Not even one letter different between this 2,600-year-old text of the Bible and what we have today. Now, it's abbreviated some because it had to fit on this tiny little amulet scroll. It says, Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face shine upon you and grant you peace. And so, think about this. Out of this ash heap, this place where it was the garbage dump of Israel in the first century. And so, it was used as a euphemism for, yeah, that's where you're going to end up. You're going to be a pile of garbage. To reference what's called hell, the lake of fire. And this is where child sacrifice was committed by Israel. They used to sacrifice their children to Molech. It's in the Bible. It's true. They used to sacrifice their children to Molech in the Valley of Hinnom. And yet out of the ashes of this disgusting place, we have the Ketef Hinnom, a promise of blessing. Well, Yahweh's not going to bless sin. Truth is, that's a place we all deserve to be. But there can be a blessing. There's a blessing available to us to pull us out of that ash heap and into His mighty presence. And so, what does the word bless really mean? In the Hebrew, the word bless means to kneel. To kneel. To bow the knee. Justinian's lexicon says here to bend the knees, to kneel down. The primary motion lies in breaking down. He's got different things here. Kneeled upon his knees. And it actually translates, kneel down before Yahweh our Maker. And so, what does it mean to be blessed by Yahweh? Look at some scriptures where this is used. It says, He made His camels kneel down. This is the same word in Hebrew, barach. Kneel down outside the city by the well of water evening time. And in Psalm 95, verse 6, so come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before, barach, before Yahweh our Maker. And so when we say, Yahweh bless you, we're literally saying, Yahweh bow the knee to you. Now that almost sounds incredulous, almost sacrilegious, that Yahweh would bow the knee to you and me. But it's a Hebrew. It's what Hebrew. So the picture that comes in my mind is Yahshua the Messiah. John 13:13 says, you call me teacher and master, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your master and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. He had to get down on his knees to serve, didn't he? He said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and give my life a ransom for many. Yahshua says, he who is greatest is the one who serves. Well, who's the greatest? Yahweh the Father. Is there anything that you are that isn't there as a result of Him serving you and me? Nothing. All things come from Him. All life, all love, all spirit, all creation, all things come from Him through the Messiah, Yahshua. And so if He's serving us every day and we're praying, oh, Father, will you do this for me? Will you do that for me? He's waiting on His hand and foot. We're asking Him to do stuff. How much more ought we bless Him, bow the knee to Him, bow on our knee? We just read this. We sung this, didn't we? That's what we ought to be doing. Yahshua says, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Baruch. You are, someone has served you as they bow the knee down to serve you. Blessed are you. And so when we're saying the blessing, the priestly blessing, literally in the Hebrew, has to do with bowing knees. And I know it's hard for us to wrap our head around that, but it has to do with service. With service. You know, when Yahshua returns, He says, I'm going to come and serve you. You're like, wait a minute. I'm going to be serving you. Oh, no, He's going to come and serve us. Listen, that's what love is. Loving is serving, and serving is loving. That's what it is. And so He's going to love us, and He's going to serve us. And here's the different ways He wants to serve us. Yahweh bless you and keep you. The word keep in the Hebrew, shamar, to keep, to guard, observe, give heed. It's quite a broad word. Strong's lexicon says Actually, it's continuous. Translated, keep 283 times. Observe, 46 times. And then Strong's Lexicon has properly to hedge about, to guard, to protect, to attend. And different ways it's translated here. And so it has to do with observing, watching over, guarding, exercising great care and great attention to. And we're called to keep, to shamar, his commandments. And we keep his commandments, we shamar his commandments, he will shamar us. How about that? No better thing to have him shamaring over us, right? Than to have him guarding us, watching over us. And that's what we want. And so Yahweh wants us to observe and shamar, and he will observe, he will shamar. He will do for us, he will guard us, and he will preserve us. And, you know, that is Yahweh's service to us, right? To guard us and protect us and to keep us and to watch over us and exercise great attention to us. And so how much more ought we do for him and what he calls us to do? And the more we realize that he does for us every day, the more we ought to be compelled to just want to serve back any way we can to honor him. To honor him. And it says, make his face shine upon you. This is a very deep thought here. To have Yahweh's face shining on you is a very deep thought. What's it mean? Well, first of all, we know Yahshua the Messiah. And according to the book of Hebrews, it says, Elohim, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Yahshua is the brightness, the shining of his glory. And upholding all things by the word of his power. Wow. Now that's an impressive resume here. He upholds all things by the word, just by the word of his power. Just by hearing about he has power, he's upholding all things. And had by himself purged our sin, sat down at the right hand of the majesty Yahweh on high. So he is the express image of Yahweh, right? Express image of his person. Now we know scripture says in the very beginning, Elohim had said, that's our heavenly Father, had said, let's make man in our image. Let us. Yahweh is talking to his Son. Let us make man in our image. And so he says here, through whom he made the worlds, right? Through whom he made the worlds. He's talking to his Son here. And so through Yahshua, he says, let's make man in our image according to our likeness. Now, what happened when Adam and Eve sinned? What happened? They're no longer in his likeness, are they? No longer in his image, because his image is a loving image. But since this was Yahweh's original plan here in Genesis 1:26 to make man in our image, basically everything written in Scripture after that is to try to restore us back to his image again. Right? Because his image is the image of love. We did not choose love. We did not choose righteousness. And so we were not walking in his image. And so it took Yahshua, who is the express image of the Father, to restore us back to his image again. As we're joined to his body, then we are restored back to his image. As scripture says, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And so he restores us to that image and that glory of Yahweh, the Father. And it was this reason, this is actually related to Paul's comments on the head covering. Look at what he said. He said, "For a man indeed ought not cover his head, since," what? "He is the image and glory of Elohim. But woman is the glory of man. For man is not from woman, but woman from man. So, since we are restored to that image and glory of the Father here, we're restored as we're members of his body, we are not supposed to cover our heads in prayer or prophesying, and that means don't cover the glory and image of Elohim. Don't cover it. But then he says woman was made from man, and so she would be the glory of man. Now, she's still the glory of Yahweh because she came from man who is the image and glory of Elohim. But there's a certain amount of glory coming from man because she was made from man. Now, she does cover her head in prayer because she's the glory of man. But when she covers her head, that head covering represents something very powerful. It represents Yahshua. It represents Yahshua and his righteousness being placed on her, restoring her to the image and glory of the Father. So, Aaron's sons, he said in Exodus 28:40, he says, "Aaron's sons, you shall make tunics, and you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make hats for them for glory and beauty." So, the glory was placed on the head of the high priest. In Exodus 29:6, it says, "You shall put the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban, and you shall take the anointing oil, pour it on his head, and anoint him." And so this turban and this hat, these things were on his head representing glory and beauty. And so if the turban's for glory, who is the brightness of Yahweh's glory? Who's the brightness of Yahweh's glory? This turban's on his head. Who's the brightness of Yahweh's glory? That's Yahshua. And so this is representing the Messiah Yahshua and his righteousness being upon the high priest as he goes in and functions in tabernacle service. It says they made tunics artistically woven of fine linen for Aaron and sons, a turban of fine linen, exquisite hats of fine linen, short trousers of fine woven linen. What is fine linen? Why fine linen? Revelation 19, verse 7 says, "Let's be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in," what? "Fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." So this fine linen turban is representing the Messiah Yahshua, the righteous acts that he placed in us and empowers us to do, is being placed on the head of the high priest. Okay? Now he's in a unique office. Not everybody had that headdress. Okay? This is a unique office because he's representing the Messiah Yahshua himself before the throne of Yahweh and the temple. All right. Now look again at this verse. It says they made tunics artistically woven of fine linen for Aaron and his sons, a turban of fine linen, exquisite hats of fine linen, short trousers of woven linen. The word translated exquisite for exquisite hats in the Hebrew is pe'er, a headdress, an ornament, a turban. Okay? The word itself is used to describe bonnets, as you see the above definition. Now, look at this prophecy of what Yahshua is going to do for us in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. It says, the Spirit of the Master Yahweh is upon me. He quoted this in a synagogue in his hometown. He said, because Yahweh has anointed me to preach the good news, good tidings, to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh and the day of vengeance of our mighty one. Now, he stopped right here. He didn't continue reading. And said, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing, is what he said. But the rest of it is what he's going to fulfill in his later. He said, and the day of vengeance of our mighty one, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Sion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise, that's a fine linen, for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, a planting of Yahweh, that he might be glorified. Now, you know what the word beauty is here in the Hebrew language? Guess what? It's per air. It's the one translated head covering or bonnet. So instead of ashes on your head, as you see here, a man in mourning, all these ashes that are on his head as he's in mourning, he says, I'm going to give you this head covering of righteousness, fine linen, righteous acts upon your head. This fine linen, this bonnet, this righteous act on your head, righteousness on your head. And because this priesthood in a tabernacle is supposed to be a copy and shadow of a heavenly priesthood and a heavenly tabernacle, linen garments are there to represent Messiah Yeshua, the high priest. And so when a woman covers her head, she's covering the glory of Adam, which you don't want Adam's glory before Yahweh in that final day. You want Yeshua, right? And so she's created for the glory of man, but the glory of Adam is replaced by Yeshua. And so that head covering is representing the righteousness being placed on her while she's at the same time covering the glory of Adam. And so men don't cover their heads because they're made the direct image of Yahweh. They're not the glory of woman, right? But there's some glory of Adam here because she came from Adam that needs to be covered while at the same time that head covering representing the righteousness of Yahshua placed on us. Now, what's this have to do with the head covering? I'm sorry, the priestly blessing, Yahweh making his face shine upon you. Take a look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. I don't have time to go into the whole teaching here, but it says, he said, it is the mighty one who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of Elohim. This knowledge about the glory of Elohim. Who is the glory of Elohim? That's Yahshua, right? He is the express image of his person. And he is the image and glory of Elohim, right? And so he caused light to shine out of darkness. The light of the knowledge of the glory of Elohim in the face of Yahshua, the Messiah. And so when his face is shining upon you, what's happening here, when his face is shining on you, is it's granting you salvation. Salvation. This is why it says here, Psalm 31, verse 16, make your face shine upon your servant, save me for your mercy's sake. And again, Psalm 80, verse 19, restore us, O Yahweh, Elohim of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. For Yahweh to shine on us is to let the light of the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh to shine on you. That light of the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh comes through the face of Yahshua the Messiah shining on you restoring you to that image and glory of Yahweh the Father. And so, it's for that reason, the result of Yahweh's face shining on you is you are given Hanan grace. Grace. And so Yahweh validate you in service and keep you, preserve you, instead of allowing you to be sent to the lake of fire where the ashes are and having those ashes on your head, instead give you glory and beauty and place the bonnet, the high priest's bonnet on your head, that righteousness on your head, so that you will have this face of Yahshua Messiah shining on you, restoring you to the image and glory of Yahweh the Father, enabling you to receive grace. So, we don't deserve it. We learned that the word grace in the Hebrew means to give you something you never deserved. Now, mercy is to not give you something you do deserve. But grace is to give you something you don't deserve. There's a difference between the two. We did not deserve all of our darkness to be turned to light. We did not deserve Yahweh's decision to cause the face of Yahshua to shine on us that we might be saved. But this is what he gave us. And now we reflect his image now as he has shined on our hearts and giving us that knowledge and glory of the glory of Elohim, that's Yahshua, in the face of Yahshua the Messiah. And so we reflect his glory now, the lion and the lamb. A lot of people talk about the lamb, they forget about the lion. They talk about what Yahshua did for you and he died for your sins, but he forgot he's coming back as a lion to judge the world. And so there are two ministries here, the lion and the lamb. The ministry of the giving of the commands, and there's the ministry of Yahshua the Messiah dying for our sins. And so the light will expose the unbeliever, but it will restore the unbeliever as he allows Yahshua to shine in their hearts, expose their wickedness in their hearts, and cleanse them of all unrighteousness. All right, so what about him lifting up his countenance upon you? For Yahweh to lift his countenance to you is to give you his attention, to give you his attention and find joy in your deeds. A countenance that's lifted up, as opposed to a countenance that's fallen. Example of a fallen countenance. Genesis chapter 4, verse 5, he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Right? And Genesis 31, verse 2, Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. So there's a favorable countenance, there's an unfavorable one, there's a one that's fallen, and the one that's lifted up. Psalm chapter 4, verse 6, it says, there are many who say, who will show us any good? Yahweh, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart, more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Yahweh, make me to dwell in safety. So look again at this priestly blessing. He's lifting his countenance upon you and giving you something that's a wonderful, wonderful treasure as he closes out this priestly blessing to give you peace. What is peace? Peace in the Hebrew is shalom. In modern days and for ancient times, the word shalom was a greeting and also a goodbye. And so it means peace, but you know, it means more than just peace. It means more than that. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, this early I forgot to mention the scripture. His countenance beholds the upright. So Yahweh's countenance is beholding you as you walk in uprightness and in truth. So For Yahweh to give you his peace, according to the theological word book of the Old Testament, it said the general meaning behind the root of shalom is of completion, fulfillment, entering into a state of wholeness and unity, a restored relationship. It does mean the absence of strife in 50 to 60 usages. Completeness, wholeness, harmony, fulfillment are closer to the meaning. Implicit in shalom is the idea of unimpaired relationships with others and fulfillment in one's undertakings. So for Yahweh to give you shalom, it's more than just the absence of conflict. It's also wholeness, a sense of being complete, a sense of fulfillment, a unity, and this restored relationship between you and the Father. And so, boy, there isn't anything more important than that restored relationship. Yahshua was talking to his disciples, and he said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have shalom, peace, completeness, fulfillment. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." It's already done. Be of good cheer. I've already overcome it. It's already dealt with. It's already taken care of. You don't got to worry about it. It's already finished. So be at peace. Have shalom within yourself. And so while the world chases its own things that do not bring any peace, we know if we are in Him, we can experience that shalom within ourselves. Yahweh says, "I create the fruit of the lips, shalom, shalom, to him who is far off and to him who is near, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast out mire and dirt. There is no shalom, says my Elohim, for the wicked." You cannot be in shalom until you're first in shalom with Yahweh the Father, who gives you that shalom. Right? This is what the Torah predicts also, this troubled sea. The Torah says those who are not in at shalom with the Father, it says among all these nations, he says, you're going to find no rest, nor shall the sole of your foot have a resting place. But there Yahweh will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life. In the morning you shall say, "Oh, that it were evening." In the evening you shall say, "Oh, that it were morning." Because of the fear which terrifies your heart, because of the sight which your eyes see. That's a picture of someone who does not have peace, does not have shalom. It's something that Yahshua wants to give us. He says to his disciples, "Shalom I leave with you. My shalom I give to you. Not as the world gives. There's a worldly peace do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Your heart, you know, wants to go its own way and fear every little thing. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't allow it to be afraid. Receive his shalom. Many people seek his shalom, but they don't find it because they're looking in all the wrong places. Psalm 34:14 says, "Depart from evil and do good. Seek shalom and pursue it." And we can do this with others who are also seeking. He says, "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, pursue faith, pursue love, pursue shalom with those who call on Yahweh out of a pure heart." Also, Scripture says, Yahweh will give strength to his people. Yahweh will bless his people with shalom, with peace. "Mark the blameless man, observe the upright. The future of that man is shalom." Many scriptures talk about this. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims shalom, peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your Elohim, your mighty one, reigns. Beautiful scriptures here. But we got to have faith and believe those good news, that glad tidings. We got to believe that, and then the promise of shalom will come. They will. In fact, we'll be busy helping bring shalom to other people around us, right? Yahshua said, blessed are the shalom makers, right? The peacemakers, right? They shall be called sons of Elohim. This is what Yahshua, the son of Elohim, came to do, is to bring shalom between us and the Father. And as we share that good news and we're proclaiming shalom, right, then we are shalom makers. We are peacemakers. And so sin creates a division between man and Yahweh. But not for sin, we'd already be at peace with each other. Wouldn't we have any problems? But Yahshua came to bring peace. And so here's what we really need to do to have that shalom in our hearts all the time. Regardless of what's happening, this is what we need to do. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and shalom. Life and peace. So, whatever's going on around you in the world, whatever's going on in your life, if you're spiritually minded, you understand what's going on in the spiritual realm. And you'll have life and you'll have shalom. You won't fear. You know who's in charge. You know who's got everything under control. And you'll have shalom within you. And you say, Tom, boy, it ain't easy sometimes. Oh, I never said it was easy. Never said it was easy. Because the world's, you know, all this stimuli coming in the eyes and the ears, all these things. But the more you focus on what's going on spiritually, the more shalom you're going to have. Because you're tapping into Yahweh's spirit. You're allowing his spirit to teach you what's happening in your life, what's really happening. So we focus, it says, if you're raised with Messiah, and Scripture says you're already raised with him. You're seated in the heavenly places with him. You're already there. Spiritually. You've got a spiritual mind, you'll see that. And since that's the case, seek those things which are above, where Messiah is. Sitting at the right hand of Elohim. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died already. You're already dead. And your life is hidden with Messiah and Elohim. You believe that's true? Believe you already died? You're already seated in the heavenly places with him? He sees you there. That's where he sees you. That's where you're going to see yourself. You're already there. Because Yahweh calls the things which are not yet as though they are. And so that's where our mind is. Our mind is on the things that are above, not the things that are on the earth. And as you do that, the fruit of the Spirit will manifest itself in your life. It says, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and one of those, shalom, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. There's no law against shalom. In fact, Scripture says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Great shalom has have those who love your statutes and commandments that teach you how to love, right? And nothing causes you to stumble. Wow. That's a wonderful promise right there. And here's another one. Elohim is not the author of confusion, but of shalom, as in all congregations of the saints. And so this word confusion has to do with, he's not the author of disorder, but of order, of shalom. Yahweh wants to place this shalom on you. Do you have it? When you're reconciled to Yahweh, you receive it. If there's sin in your life gone unconfessed, don't expect it's going to be there. You got to confess it. You got to forsake it. For when we are reconciled to Him, that's when the shalom comes. If you're not reconciled, there's something that you are holding back. And you know that guilt. You know how that feels. You've got to let it go and confess it and forsake it. Won't be like Achan. Just love that Babylonian garment, you know? Just had to hold on to that one thing. Just one thing. You don't need anything in this world. Hold on to the hand that never changes. He's the master of shalom. So the master of shalom himself will give you shalom always in every way. And he's the mighty one of shalom. The mighty one of shalom be with you all. Amen. Now, how do you understand all these things where you hear all these wonderful promises of him giving you shalom? But then Yahshua would turn around and say, do not think I came to bring shalom on the earth. I did not come to bring shalom, but a sword. Well, how do you reconcile that? Well, just because he's given you peace within your hearts doesn't mean you're not at war. You are. You are at war. But the battle is his. The battle is his. And there's not full peace in the world itself. Yahweh and his angels are at war with Satan and his demons. And you're caught in the middle. You're the fodder. You're the booty. You're the thing that everyone's after. And so while it is true, you are at war with the enemy, you're at peace with our Heavenly Father. One thing you don't want is shalom with Yahweh's enemy. You don't want that. Because that's going to make you not be in shalom with the Father. And so you're being at shalom with the Father is going to put you at war with the enemy because he's not in shalom with the Father at all. And so in that sense, he's come to bring that sword. And so we have security, though, and we don't have to fear because greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world, right? And so you don't have to walk in fear and dread and lose your peace over it. I mean, how about David? He's like, this giant? Ain't no big deal. The battle's Yahweh's. Bang, he's dead. Wasn't worried one bit. Wasn't worried in the least. And so while the wickedness around us may cause us to long for that peace on the earth in that future kingdom, we can take comfort in knowing that Yahweh has given us the solution to everything. We don't have to worry at all about anything. I get it. It's not easy being a child of Jerusalem. This is your future in this land of Babylon, right? But it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing that you can have peace in the midst of crazy, crazy trials and battles. And generally speaking, the people around you will be pretty amazed. Like, where are you getting this? Where are you getting this peace? Where are you getting this? I've had people ask me, how do you get all that peace? How do you get that? Well, it doesn't come from myself. It comes from being at peace with the Father. So I don't have to be uptight. Just see what he wants next and roll with it. So how do you become a man of peace when you're in Jerusalem, when you're Jerusalem in your heart and you're already there in your heart, but you know that we're here on the earth and we're in Babylon? Yahweh told Israel, he said, seek the shalom of the city where I have caused you to be carried away to captive and pray to Yahweh for it. For in its peace, you will have peace. And so you pray for the place in which you dwell, this place of exile. And it's for that reason that we share Yahweh's word in a state of shalom. It says the wisdom from above is first pure, then shalomable. Sorry for speaking Hebrewish here, but peaceable, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in shalom by those who make shalom. So you want to share the holy word of Yahweh with somebody. You know, you don't just come down a spirit of arrogance, a spirit of haughtiness and condemnation and looking, peering your nose down at them. No, it says the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then willing to yield, full of good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And you're going to sow that seed in a state of shalom by those who make shalom. And so when you plant in your garden, you don't, grab a pile of dirt, throw it over here, throw a seed down there, throw the dirt on there and pack it down. You don't do it that way. No, you lift it up to see the soil a little bit, drop the seed in there, gently pat it down, and then either pray for rain or water it yourself. So when you're sharing the word, do so in shalom, because that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to make shalom between them and the Father. You're trying to make that shalom between them and the Father. And so now it might be that they want war while you're trying to bring them to a place where they can have that shalom. They may want war. That's what's going on in Israel. You know, woe to me. Woe is me. I dwell in Meshech. I dwell among the tents of Kedar. These are the Arabs. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I'm for shalom, but when I speak, they're for war. There's some people, it ain't going to matter what. Ain't going to matter what you say or do. They're for war. But that's okay. Let Yahweh work on that. We still pursue shalom with all and holiness, without which no one will see Yahweh. For us, we can still have that. Even if they took our life, they don't realize. They think they take our life, they think they got us. They think that's the end of us. No, that's just the beginning. Just the beginning. Just the beginning. The righteous perishes and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away while no one considers. The righteous are now taken away from all that evil. And he shall enter into shalom. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. It's like they think they got you. They brought you right into the most shalom-filled place that ever will be. It's over for them, really. So, all right, you're in a stressful situation. You can't seem to sleep. You can't stop thinking about something. It keeps taking away your peace. Maybe it's fear. Fear is something. Remember, it's an unclean spirit trying to torment you. What Yahweh says is, be anxious for nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to Elohim, and the shalom of Elohim, which surpasses any ability to even comprehend and understand it. It's something you can't describe or even comprehend, but it's there. You know it is, and that will guard your heart and your mind through Yahshua the Messiah. And so don't walk in that fear. Elohim has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. That's what he's given you. And since that's true, you're going to be anxious for nothing, and you're going to prayer and supplication. You're going to be thankful. You're going to make your requests known, and then you let him take care of it. Let him take care of it. Now it's in his court. It's for him to handle. It's for him to worry about. And so this prison of the spirit of fear can be transformed into a spirit of prayer. Turn all that anxiety energy into prayer energy. Turn all that fear energy into, I'm afraid right now. I'm going to go to my Father in heaven. And because he says he will bless me, he will preserve me, he will cause his face to shine on me, He will give me grace, and that he will give me peace. He will lift his countenance upon me, and I'm going to cleave to those promises, and I'm going to believe in those promises. I can sit here and think all my life, the rest of my life, think about all the things to be afraid of, or I can think about all the things he's promised me. And where is my heart? Where is my mind? I'm going to focus on that which he promised. And let that be my strength, even as Yahshua, for the joy set before him, was able to endure. Be careful about alternative ways of bringing you peace. People say, I smoked that marijuana, I felt so peaceful, so relaxed. How'd you feel when you're done? It wears off. You're right back where you started. It never brought you anything but a joke for peace. It gave you chemicals in your brain. Didn't do anything permanent. Look, you've got to focus on the Prince of Peace. He's the one that's going to give you peace down deep where no chemical could ever reach, where no drug could ever reach. Be careful about substitutes. And listen, when you're praying, don't think you got it all. You toss and you turn it on, you want to turn that prayer energy. Don't think that you have to keep rewording the same prayer 50 different ways, thinking the 49th way I word this, now I'll get the answer I'm looking for. I've heard this many times. People be praying, they'll pray the same thing one way, the same thing a different way, and the same thing a third way, a fourth way, a fifth way, and because they still got this anxiety, and they think they got to pray it all these different ways, and maybe they pray it just the right way, and then he'll finally hear what I have to say. Now, he knows what you need before you even ask. Every hair of your head's numbered. He cares about you. Now, the world's going to claim peace. I wonder, about this thing happening in Israel today. Hey, the Palestinians are... get rid of all them terrorists, and here comes peace and safety. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They shall not escape. Whatever they're looking for, they think that will give them peace, will not give them peace. And this right here is a picture even of a man who thinks he's getting peace through marijuana or drugs or alcohol or whatever. He thinks, peace, safety. But then all of a sudden, destruction. Because Scripture says drunkards will not enter in. And really all these other substances, just another thing that's called drunkenness, it's just a different way of giving dopamine. They're dopamine devices, really. That's all they are. And so, but there's only one that's going to give you that eternal peace. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty Elohim, Father of Eternity, Prince of Shalom. Prince of Shalom. So show us your mercy, Yahweh, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what Elohim, Yahweh, will speak. For he will speak shalom to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Beautiful picture here. Don't turn again to folly. Let's seek to always remain on that road of righteousness that not only goes hand in hand with peace, but when you have salvation through Yahshua, righteousness and peace will have kissed each other. And that's what Yahweh promises us in this priestly blessing. Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, shalom. Then it says, and this is the part hardly anybody ever quotes, So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. That's a promise. I will bless them. This blessing, speak it over your children, speak it over your wife. Every night we pray, speak this blessing over my wife. This is an important thing for us to do as leaders, as men. Speak this blessing over your families, that his name might be upon them and that he would bless them. What's it mean to have his name? Remember the high priest had a crown. Had a crown on that bonnet, that fine linen head covering. He had a crown on it. And that crown has something written. It says, you shall make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it like the engraving of a signet, holiness to Yahweh, Kadosh to Yahweh. And you shall put on a blue cord, maybe on the turban. It shall be in front of the turban. It shall be on Aaron's forehead, holiness to Yahweh. And so Yahweh's name was on the forehead of the high priest. And so it is for us. Revelation 22, verse 3 says, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of Elohim and of the Lamb shall be in it. His servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. For Yahweh's name to be on you, when all these promises of the priestly blessing come upon you, the light of Yahweh's countenance is shining on you and giving you that shalom. And you see that joyful face. You see his face shining on you in such a way, the whole city don't even need a lamp anymore. Or the light of the sun ever again. And then you will truly be consecrated to Yahweh forever. And he writes on your forehead his name. What does that mean? He's saying, you're mine. You're mine. You belong to me. That name on your forehead is a sign that you belong to him. That mark on your forehead is a mark of ownership. Listen, nobody owns themselves. You think you do, you're making a mistake. Scripture says you are not even your own. So get that out of your head right now. If you think you own yourself, you're wrong. Somebody owns you. You're slaves of one or the other, either slave to Satan and as pictured in Pharaoh and the taskmasters with Satan and his demons. You're either slave of one or you're a servant of Yahweh. When he blesses you and he keeps you, he does all these things, then you're his. He puts his name on your forehead. That's why it says in Scripture, this is a people called by my name. I'd say that makes a name pretty important. Why would they want to take it out of the Bible? The one that's on our forehead. Why? It's not going to be the Lord on there, I promise you. It's going to be Yahweh. That's on your foreheads. And so, as it is written, Yahweh bless you, that's the bounty and service to you, and keep you, watch over you, preserve you, exercising great care over you. Yahweh make his face shine upon you, the light of the knowledge of Yahweh's glory, in the face of Yahshua the Messiah, the brightness of Yahweh's glory, and be gracious to you, giving you favor you don't deserve. This is what you're saying over your children, over your families. He says, say this to them. Say it. Speak this to them. He's telling the priests to do this for the children of Israel. Well, you are the priest of your household. Speak these words over your family. Yahweh give you favor you don't deserve. Yahweh give you the light of the knowledge of the glory of the face of Yahshua the Messiah, that brightness of Yahweh. Yahweh give you Yahshua, right? In you. Watch over you, preserving you, bowing the knee in service to you, lifting up his countenance upon you, giving you his attention and smiling at you, finding joy in what you do, finding joy in you, and give you that completion, fulfillment, and entering that state of wholeness and of unity. And so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, branding his name on our foreheads as a mark of ownership. And then this promise, I will, I will, I will bless them. What great and precious promises we have. And we're just getting started. We're just getting started. We're in five parts. And we're looking now at this eighth key promise in the Holy Scriptures. Yahweh will bless us, will keep us, will cause his face to shine upon us, be gracious to us, lift up his countenance to us, and give us that peace, and place his name upon us. I'd say that's cause for praise, wouldn't you? Let's pray. Almighty Yahweh, how awesome is your word. How amazing are your promises. We don't deserve a single one. Not a one. But it seemed good in your sight. What is man that you're mindful of him? All we know is you create us in your image. And all of us have failed miserably to walk in it, and yet you restore us anyway. We want to turn from any and all transgression and put our trust in Messiah Yahshua. We need his light shining on us, giving us that grace we don't deserve. We want you to smile upon our behavior and to be one to whom you give attention and you give us completion and fulfillment and wholeness and unity, watching over us, preserving us, and exercising great care over us, and branding your name on our foreheads, saying we belong to you. In that, we know we are blessed. All these things you do for us, I stand in awe. But we praise you, we honor you, we glorify you, and we want to live a life that causes others to do the same. Sharing your shalom, that message of good tidings of shalom. Provide ministry opportunities for us to share your love, to serve others and direct them and their hearts to you. For truly we know and we are sure. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. And all praise and honor and worship belongs to you. Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh our mighty one, forever and ever. In Yahshua's name we do pray all these things. Amen.